You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, don't you? It's a really weird word, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give you information. Ask me for more, but blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise. And I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Well, Common Sense says you better get ready. Welcome to hour number three of the Common Sense Show. This is Dave Hodges. Remember, we are the show, and we're doing our best to free America, one enslaved mind at a time. And we'll get to our next guest in just a moment. I just want to let you know who makes this possible. Again, my friend Steve Quayle, Renaissance Precious Metals. Convert your soon-to-be worthless cash into precious metals. So after the crash, you'll have more than your neighbors. First thing, you got to protect it. That's a whole new set of problems. Anyway, give Steve a call tomorrow, 406-586-4842. And you heard Bob talk about his resources. Boy, great products. Want to remind you that we have great storable food at Numana. And go to numana.com/Hodges. I was talking to Daniel Brigman yesterday on the phone. I'll tell you, sales are through the roof. People are starting to take this seriously. Don't get caught behind, and don't get caught without your food and water. Please, please. I say it every week. I know I sound like an old nag, but we do care about what happens to each other. And also, just want to remind everybody, social media site, scene.life. Go there, commiserate with people. It helps to have an outlet to talk to people who have your level of understanding, since most of your neighbors and a lot of your family doesn't. Well, anyway, I interviewed Mike Adams earlier this week, and I'm going to have to do more of that because I can get on quality guests who are not necessarily available late Sunday evening where they live. So Mike and I had a great talk. I think you're going to enjoy this interview. So Todd, let's go ahead and play that. Hi, this is Dave Hodges of the Common Sense Show, and we're here with a special report, breaking news, and joining me on the line is Mike Adams from Natural News and News Target. And just to briefly set the stage here, earlier this last week, I was contacted by the New York Times, and they were looking for answers to the question, do I know of any efforts that will be employed in terms of using violent backlashes against a Clinton victory? 24 hours later, Mike Adams was contacted by the Washington Post with the same kind of question. So, putting our heads together, we see the collusion that's going on. So, Mike, welcome to the show. I'm glad you could join us, and we certainly have a lot of talk to talk about with regard to this area.
Well, thank you, Dave. It's always good to join you, although these circumstances, I believe, are the most dangerous, probably, in the history of our nation since the American Revolution. We are in very, very dangerous times, dangerous territory, and it's obvious to me that these reporters from the state-run media are now trying to create a backstory so that they can blame Trump and Trump supporters when they roll out some sort of massive false flag attack on Democrats or Hillary supporters or even just independent innocents. So I've written a story about that too, and I think that we are now in the most dangerous time of this election because Trump is actually winning in the minds of the people who will vote. The polls are rigged. Everything's been rigged from day one on this, and now the Clinton machine is so desperate to change the narrative that they will try anything, including mass murder. So that's what's really shaping up, I believe.
What gave you the notion that the Clintons are going to resort to murdering their own supporters and blaming it on the Trump people?
Well, it's the most effective way for globalists to sway people by bypassing their logic and reason. You know, look at Sandy Hook. Look at the imagery of 9/11. Every time globalists want to massively shift the population in their direction, all they have to do is stage some kind of mass bombing or mass shooting or mass, you know, event of some kind, and then replay the blood and the bombs and the dead bodies. You know, look at Boston Marathon and so on. All they have to do is hit people with the emotions of it, and then for a while the American population will agree to anything. They'll agree to gun control. They'll agree to the Patriot Act, which was, you know, really illegal from day one, created the surveillance police state society. They will agree to anything. And now, you see, if Hillary Clinton were really ahead in this election, they wouldn't have to resort to this. And this is not their first option. First, they want to destroy Trump. You know, do it the easy way in their minds. They wanted to destroy Trump, discredit him, you know, with all the bimbos coming out and so on. Now there's a woman who launched a sex toy online shopping cart the day before she claimed that Donald Trump fondled her. You know, so it's such an obvious joke. But since that has all failed, they now have to resort to what you might call the big guns, which is false flag, mass murder, blood in the streets, blame it on Trump, and the role of the mainstream media, which we know is an extension of the Clinton campaign, is to have all their editorial ready to go so they can launch their stories in the minutes and hours after that event takes place.
I agree. Let's go back to what you said about the bimbos coming out. Here's what troubles me, and I'll give you the response a female gave me, and then I'll give you my counter response for your reaction. What bothers me is this multitude of women coming out at the same time with allegations against Trump of sexual impropriety, you know, sexual abuse. In fact, in a couple of cases, I mean, you're looking at 5 years in prison if he's really guilty of what they said. But they went years, and not one police report was filed, not one civil lawsuit. And someone like Trump, in his position with that money, is extremely vulnerable, and the least they could have been thinking was to get an out-of-court settlement. But not one legal action was taken in that whole time, and yet the American people are dumb enough to buy this? Mike, I don't get it.
Well, this just shows you the power of the emotional manipulation. Again, this is about bypassing logic and reason, and just hitting the American people with these emotionally charged images and women crying on TV and so on. But you're absolutely right. There wasn't a single police report filed. The woman on the airplane never cried help. You know, apparently she was being fondled for 15 minutes and loved it, and then the 16th minute she suddenly hated it but didn't tell anybody. I mean, come on. It's absurd. But this is what we expect from the most corrupt criminal regime that has ever sought the White House. You know, the Clintons are criminals, and if Trump wins, the Clintons know they're going to jail, or worse. I mean, they're going to be indicted. Maybe they can get a pardon from Obama on his last day of office. I wouldn't put that past him, but they can't escape the scrutiny and the investigations that are going to come under a Trump presidency, excuse me. So they know that everything is at stake, and that, Dave, is why they're willing to do anything, because they know they're going to, you know, metaphorically speaking, you know, hang from the trees, you know, from a rope. That's a metaphor, not a literal quote, but. And so they're willing to do anything to stop that, including committing more crimes.
Yeah, I listen, and the criminality hasn't stopped. I've been interviewing Gary Haven. He was the producer of Amerigeddon and a successful businessman. He spent about $15 million of his own money so far using his three airplanes to be the only source of support for 1 million people on the peninsula of Haiti that are cut off from water, from food. Yet the Clinton Foundation got $2 billion and they're nowhere to be found. And I published something yesterday where Gary called out Clinton on tape. So the criminality, I mean, even in the face of everything that's blowing up in her face, they still don't stop with her criminality. It's just amazing.
Well, the Project Veritas releases combined with the WikiLeaks releases are so monumental and detail such an incredibly large scale system of deep state corruption that it makes the Nixon tapes look like child's play. This is the most corrupt system of criminality and high politics that has ever been documented in American history, by far. Nothing comes close to it.
Couldn't agree with you more. It's worse than Woodrow Wilson and Richard Nixon put together.
Oh, absolutely. Just no question about it. And so for the media now, this is where the media is even more complicit in whatever happens. For the media to now be so one-sided that they cover up all the crimes of the Clintons and yet endlessly and maliciously attack Donald Trump on these literally trumped up charges puts the American people into a state of such extreme frustration and in recognizing that this whole game is so rigged that the media is actually contributing to the backlash that may come. And it is this backlash that I warned about in my analysis article that I think the Washington Post saw is one of the reasons they called me. Because in my article, I warned that this could all go into a scenario where so many American people are so fed up that they're, and if the fraud is so great that democracy has been stolen from the people, then I can see a scenario where the people rise up and we have an armed revolt. Now, I'm not calling for it, and there's no such event organized or planned, but I can see that as one possible scenario.
Well, I don't know if you've had a chance to go up on my website yet this morning, but I have been working on a story now since the cyber attacks, and this ties back into this. If Clinton cannot win, and that determination, I've been told, will be made prior to the election. I've also been told by my insider sources, and Mike, I'm telling you, the sources are good and they're reliable, and they were very, let's put it this way, they were in very high positions at one time. And what they have told me, to a person, I've never had this kind of unanimity among three different sources before, and the message is so amazingly consistent, is that Obama is the source of these three cyber attacks upon American businesses and their websites, but this is only setting the stage. The attacks were launched out of Fort Meade and out of Buckley Air Force Base. They're using Space Command technology to digitally imprint Russian footprints into this so they can blame the Russians at a later time. And the Russians, they said, we're good enough at doing this. They said we can probably lay the footprint, and they can't find it until it's exposed to the world. And that was that's the premise that these three people independently are working on. And I got one more piece to throw in, and I'll let you run with this because you were talking in your last article, very well written, about connecting the dots. Well, here is another dot connector. There's something now called ARSL, Authoritarian Rule of Law. Uh-huh. And this is the new martial law. It's basically Executive Order 13603 on steroids. And they are rolling this out in an unannounced drill. And this is leaked out. Now, Max Lavell has part of this. I believe I have the other part. And this is being rolled out October 30th through November 3rd. It's uh-huh. a third phase of a five-phase operation in which martial law is practiced. And you know that drill could go live if they feel that Clinton isn't going to win.
You know, you're blowing my mind because, you know, we did not pre-discuss any topics that we were going to talk about here today.
No.
But in the last 48 hours, it became apparent to me, and I'm about to start an article describing this, that what you just said fits perfectly with what I see happening. Here's the deal. Everybody listen up. This is how this probably 50% chance or better this could play out. If the Clintons can't stop Trump, and believe me, they're going to try everything, but if they fail, if Trump wins, they have already set up the narrative to blame the Russians, right? A ridiculous narrative, completely absurd, but Hillary keeps invoking it in the debates. Oh, it's the Russians' fault, and Trump, you're a Russian puppet. I mean, excuse me? Where did that come from? But Obama can declare the election null and void. You see, and then he can invoke an investigation of, quote, the Russians. And what you just said just is another confirmation that, yes, under Obama, the operatives in the military could fake the Russian footprint. And then we saw that Reuters article 2 days ago that said, beware, the Russians may fake voter fraud in America. I mean, have you ever heard of such an absurd, accusation?
No. In fact, Mike, let me ask you this question since we're on the topic. I have a time frame problem with Clinton's allegations the Russians are hacking into our elections. Madam Secretary, what elections? They're not until November 8th. How can they hack into something that has not yet happened?
No, but the key is, I mean, you're right. They're establishing a pre-narrative so that if they lose the election, if Trump wins the vote, and I think at this point he will. He will win the vote and he will win the Electoral College. Then they can say, oh, the Russians hacked the election. We warned everybody about it, and it has happened. The election has been stolen by the Russians working in conspiracy with Trump. And then Obama will say, it's null and void. We're going to have to redo the elections. And at that point, the Patriots go nuts, right? The Patriots, at that point, the scenario, my analysis is that it very, very quickly goes into a citizens revolt type of scenario,
yes.
Like pitchforks and torches time, as we've heard that phrase. And then Obama declares martial law, and then at that point it's absolute chaos, all bets are off, there's no smooth transition of power to Donald Trump, and we find ourselves then in an actual civil war with martial law. It all hell breaks loose at that point. That is now emerging as a very likely scenario.
That's what they're practicing for in unconventional warfare exercise 16 in Texas.
I believe it.
Yep. Go ahead, Mike.
This is the most bizarre history unfolding in front of us. We're all witnesses to one of the most disturbing and dark chapters in American history. And it's becoming increasingly apparent. And this is key, Dave, and I know you agree with this. You've written about this. The political elite will never, ever, ever voluntarily let go of power. Not even if they lose an election.
No, they're not going to respect the rule of law. If Trump does what he says, or even attempts to do what he says, and stop the free trade agreements, just as one platform in his campaign, this would cost the globalists trillions of dollars.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, now he's rolled out term limits. I mean, term limits, that to the political elite in Washington, that's suicide. that's their whole career. That's all they know is how to be corrupt.
You mean they'd have to get a real job like the rest of us?
Yeah, exactly. And that's very frightening to them. So, all the things that Trump is now saying he's going to do are victory for the people and defeat for the globalists. It's all right there in black and white.
Well, this whole scenario as it's rolling out is going to happen very quickly. I think we'll have a culmination point before the election. I think we agree on that, don't we?
Oh yeah. Yes, I do. And I think that the media, the mainstream media, vastly overestimates the support for Clinton because they've been reading their own stories.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go out and talk to real people everywhere, everybody is saying they're going to vote for Trump even though they hate the guy. And this is important to understand. The most common, if you go out and talk to, people at a party, a wedding, or whatever, people you don't even know, you just start talking to them, you're going to hear more than any other comment on politics. Yeah, I don't like Trump. He's, he's not my favorite guy. I don't like his womanizing, whatever, but I'm going to vote for him. And very few people are saying, I don't like Clinton, she's corrupt, she's a criminal, but I'm going to vote for her. You don't hear that out there.
No, in fact, let me even take this a step further. This has been revealed before, and I was told I could reveal it. One of my contacts at one time had connections with Arsoff. That's about as far as I'm going to take that. But he told me that in Arsoff, they actually have a group that monitors the public and political ideology, actions, campaign, because they don't want to spend $1 million on something to have it go away because someone loses an election and a vote changes on a key committee. And he said, it's our job. He says, we run this like a business. And he said, we need to know the future customer trends of what's coming. Let me tell you what he told me. He said he has it straight from the horse's mouths in these groups that work on this, that it's just like the Republican primary. The more the media bashed Trump, the higher his ratings went. It had an inverse effect. And they said the same thing is happening right now. Mm-hmm. The only people who have left Trump are the Republican leadership who benefit from the free trade agreements and make money off illegal immigration, because their campaign contributors from the corporations want this. He said the rank and file are now stronger behind Trump than ever before.
Absolutely. And remember that now, under almost 8 years of Obama, your typical American who's going to go to the polls is waking up, has already awakened to the fact that everything they were told is a lie. Obamacare is not less expensive. They're not saving $2,500 a year. They don't have a better paying job. They don't have better security. The streets aren't safer in America. You know, on and on and on. The national debt isn't lower. It's double what it was. By the way, Hillary Clinton says she, quote, will not add a penny to the national debt if she's elected. So she says that with a straight face, too, which just tells you something.
Mike, there might be a little truth in that. Because her tax plan calls for a $1.3 trillion tax increase, and our government only takes in $2 trillion a year. I did the math on this. Depending on the income level you're at, you're going to have your taxes double and triple.
You know, I'm a small business owner, as are you, and I've had discussions here with my team. If Hillary Clinton gets elected, should we even continue to stay in business? Because what's the point? If the confiscatory tax rates are so high that every hour you work with sweat and effort, you know, late nights, weekends, holidays, you know what it's like to own your own business, and then just to turn that over to a corrupt criminal regime that's going to hand that money out to illegals who are coming in and demanding entitlements and illegally voting for more Democrats? Really? It is immoral to contribute to that system, which means you almost have a moral obligation to not earn anything. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
That's how societies fall, by the way.
Good luck with Mike Adams trying to go get a real job, because they'll make sure your reputation follows you.
Oh, yeah. I don't know that I would ever even attempt to do that.
Yeah, Mike, I've been denied employment because of my stances on things. And yet, not one time in any of the 3,000-plus articles that I've written over the years, not one time have I advocated for violence in any form whatsoever. I've advocated for boycotts, but I have not advocated for violence, yet what I say is supposed to be inappropriate.
Well, and let's talk about violence. You know, it what's really interesting is the position of the leftist media is quite literally that throughout human history, any time an oppressive government was committing genocide and mass murder of its citizens, the citizens never had any right to fight back. That is the default position of the left. So that they don't think the Jews should have fought back. You know, they don't think the scientists in the Cultural Revolution of China should have fought back. They don't believe that any population is ever in the right to fight against their oppressors. And so, in essence, the left believes in North Korea. They believe in absolute totalitarianism. And that tells you something right there. And I've had these conversations. It's like, at what point should the Jews have started shooting the Nazi soldiers of the Third Reich? And they say, well, never.
I know. I've heard it too.
I mean, really?
Well, that view is in contrast with Solzhenitsyn that said, we didn't love freedom enough. We should have met the KGB at the doorstep with pokers.
Yeah.
And he's right. He is right. When we get to that point, I'm not advocating for violence. I'm saying you have a right to defend yourself in your own home. And this is the narrative that they present. And you're right. If Hillary Clinton is elected, let's put it on the table and call it what it is. This country will eventually turn into North Korea.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, as I wrote in a previous article, you've already lost your country, folks. You've already lost America. This election is about whether you can take it back at the ballot box. And if you can't take it back at the ballot box, that's the last chance to ever take it back without things devolving into massive violence and bloodshed, and most of the violence carried out by the government itself. You know, remember that we the people want to live in a peaceful, non-violent society. Well, what do you do when the government becomes so criminal, so corrupt, that it becomes the primary source of violence against the people? Now, we're not quite there yet, but we're very, very close. Look at the journalists that are sitting in prison right now. You know, look at the false flag attacks that have been carried out by operatives at the highest levels of government. Our government, as it exists today under this corrupt regime, is a primary source of actual terrorism against the American people. And allowing terrorism, you know, allowing the terrorists to walk right in and creating casualties in the Middle East with horrific foreign policy and actually being complicit in some of the events, the violence that's taking place in America, for example, you know, the San Bernardino terrorist shooting. You know, remember, there were drills in that building, you know, every week before that happened. This is all scripted. And so if a corrupt criminal government becomes the primary source of violence against its people, you know, like in Nazi Germany, that you have to ask from a humanitarian standpoint, at what point should the Jews have picked up firearms and stopped the violence against them? And that's why there is an organization today called Jews for the Preservation of Firearms Ownership, yes. The JPFO. The JPFO says never again will we make that mistake in history. For our culture, for our people, for the Jewish people, we will never again allow ourselves to be disarmed and overrun and mass murdered with genocide by an out-of-control government. And that's a very hard lesson for history to teach someone.
Well, a lot of people don't even look at the history, but the University of Hawaii has. They had a project they called the Democide Project, which basically was defined as death by government. And, Mike, they had two really interesting findings. One, that in the 20th century, more people died at the hands of their own government than they did in any war and conflict, Civil War conflict, World War conflict, didn't matter. More people died at the hands of their own government. And secondly, there were 19 official genocides in the 20th century, and every one of them was preceded by gun confiscation.
Yes. I'm very familiar with that study. I believe that their number was, what, 262 million people?
Yes, that's right. That's exactly right.
And if you go down the list, it's exactly, in every case, it was an out-of-control government that demanded obedience and then demanded the citizens be disarmed and then concentrated power into the hands of the few who became so arrogant and so criminal-minded that they eventually committed mass genocide against their people. And what do you have in the United States today? Mass centralization of power into the hands of the few. This, what Project Veritas is describing and what WikiLeaks is describing with all these leaked emails is massive collusion between the State Department, the DOJ, the high levels of the FBI, James Comey, the media, of course, nonprofit institutions, academic institutions, the White House, and so on. This is a concentration of power into the hands of the few. And I ask you, all of you listening, when in history has the concentration of absolute power into the hands of the few ever, ever turned out to be good news for the people? Never.
Yeah, that's right, never. And this is what we're approaching. And if Hillary is going to lie about everything else when she says, I respect the Second Amendment, but she wants to close all the loopholes, she's going to close the loophole that's going to let you keep your gun. And this is what we're coming to. Can you imagine, Mike, let's just juxtaposition for a second and go to North Korea again. Can you imagine if their populace had guns, what would be going on there right now?
Oh, yeah. They'd be marching on the Capitol. They'd be killing the Kim Jong-un and hanging all the leaders in the streets, you know. But interestingly, a lot of them are so swept up into the system that they would not take part in that. In other words, they worship their leader because the propaganda has been so complete for so long.
That's true.
And the media has controlled it. You know, the Washington Post reporter asked me a very interesting question. He said, in my article, I had analyzed the possibility that an armed citizenry would, of course, target media outlets to take over the state-run media so that the truth could be broadcasted to the public. And he asked me, should we be concerned about our security? I mean, should you know, what should we do? Are we at risk? And as I wrote yesterday, you know, the answer is, if that ever happens, the armed citizens are not there to harm you. They're there to liberate you, my friend. They're there to end the cognitive enslavement under which you've been suffering, which is the same as in North Korea. If you were to go into North Korea and try to set those people free, you would first have to free their minds, because they have been brainwashed by a corrupt leader for so long. So this is not just a physical slash kinetic question. This is also a psychology question, perhaps primarily a psychology question. How do you wake up all of these people who are colluding with the Clintons to the reality that they have been working for a Fourth Reich type of criminal regime of deep corruption? How do you make them realize that? That's the bigger question in all this.
Well, then cognitive dissonance sets in, because no one wants to believe they were part of the problem or part of what I would call the final solution. And they will go into cognitive dissonance where they'll deny the fact that this is true because it's too big a shift for their worldview. Michael,
that's right.
You said psychology. I'll throw this one at you. The Seligman experiment called Learned Helplessness in the 1960s put a dog on electrical grid in phase one, shocked it. The dog jumped off the grid and showed it basically could control its own reaction to a pain stimulus. Then they built a barrier around the grid and shocked the dog repeatedly, including when the dog had actually given up and submitted and just laid down and accepted the shock. Then they took the grid away, and the dog still accepted the shock without trying to escape, because the dog had been conditioned that its actions didn't make any difference.
That's right.
And I submit to you that about half of America fits into the learned helplessness model.
Well, you're exactly right, and there's also a chemical element to this. As you know, I'm a lab scientist, and we do mass spec analysis of contamination and water and all these things, and so I know that there are psychoactive chemicals, such as fluoride, being added to the water deliberately that reinforce the helplessness. There, what you can do with fluoride, if you dose the entire population with it, I know this sounds like the villain in a James Bond movie, but there's actually a chemical basis for this. It tends to sap your will. You know, why is fluorine one of the active components of antidepressant drugs? Because it is a mind-altering element. You know, fluorine, it's in the halogen column. It has seven electrons in the outer shell, desperately wants an eighth. So it rips apart other molecular structures in the brain in order to achieve, eight orbiting electrons in its outer shell. So there is a chemical reason. This is straight science, straight physics. There's a chemical reason why fluoride is in the water supply, combined with the intense psychological propaganda, combined with all the antidepressant drugs, the psychiatric drugging of children. I could go on. There are certain heavy metals in the water supply, like lead in Flint, Michigan. Lead damages cognitive function, reduces IQ by a measurable degree. You know, just example after example after example of the assault, the chemical assault on the brain, and then the psychological assault on the mind.
And people just—it's just amazing to me that people just accepted it in the early stages and let it go on. And we just bought the narrative. Hey, we're from the government, and these guys can be trusted. But it is, here's where I have hope. There is research out there that does talk about how to awaken people when they have gone through a prior conditioning which really renders them to the level of a sheep. And the answer is, when those around them they care about start to fall. In other words, protecting your children. When you can't put shoes on your kids' feet or food on their table, that's when people decide enough is enough. And we're almost at that point. 50 million people on food stamps, half the country on some form of welfare. We're almost at that point.
Well, that's exactly right. The failures of the Obama economic destruction, which was a planned destruction from day one, by the way, are now becoming so apparent to everyone that even all the faked economic numbers out of the White House can't turn that around. You know, in their real lives, when people suffer, they lose their home, they're losing their health insurance, they are poorer now, they are more destitute, they are more desperate than ever before. It's hard to tell those people, even with CNN propaganda, that their lives are better. When they wake up and they look around and it's not better for them. And that's the case for, you know, over 100 million Americans who have, their situation is worse under Obama, and now they're looking at Hillary Clinton and thinking, my God, do we want this trend to continue? And by the way, Obama had going for him charisma. The guy, just on the surface level, the guy is likable. You know, he's charming to people.
Right.
You know, he's handsome. He's funny. If it wasn't for his politics and his training, his communism background, he would actually be a really charming guy. So he had that going for him, and that's why he won so completely in 2008. Hillary Clinton, nobody looks at Hillary and thinks, oh, she's a lovable, cuddly grandmother figure that we'd love to have over for dinner. No, they're horrified of that woman. Even the Democrats are horrified.
I've likened her to Lizzie Borden.
Yeah, she is, and that fake plastered smile on her face just looks demonic to people.
I did a couple of pieces yesterday on Hillary Clinton. It's up on thecommonsenseshow.com, and her body language. And I teach body language. It's a matter of academic studies. And I borrowed from experts who've looked at her, and all of her smiles are fake. They're contrived. They actually show hidden anger.
Oh, gosh, yes. Well, and the reason they look fake is because she doesn't know how to smile naturally. I mean, that's not part of who she is.
I mean, they call it the social smile that she's actually masking, like an allegation that's brought against her. She breaks into the smile. It's like a conditioned response.
You know, like during the debates, they show Trump on half the screen and they would show Hillary on the other half. And, you know, Trump is, his brow is furled, he's angry looking, which is actually appropriate given where we are in the country today.
Exactly.
He looks firm. He looks, you know, a little bit pissed off. I get that. Hillary's just got this smile going for 2.5 minutes for no reason. You look at her like something is psychologically damaged here.
Well, I think part of it, too, the split screen is something that I don't remember seeing in past presidential debates. And I think that her body language is purposely being used as a distraction away from Trump's message.
That's interesting. Well, there's no question that everything about these debates is rigged. You know, you've seen the scandals on the possible teleprompter that's on her podium. I've even seen stories about the words that appear behind her, you know, on the blue print behind her on the wall. When it comes to the Clintons, everything's rigged. All the questions are rigged. The town hall questions are rigged. You know, the polls are rigged. Everything's rigged. And the most terrifying thing to the mainstream media and to the left in general would be to allow an open, fair, and free election where the people determine who sits in power. That is absolutely terrifying to the left. And the reason is because their ideas don't work.
Well, they know that most people don't think the way they think. Most people just want to be left alone, and they represent the people that won't leave most of the people alone.
That's right, and have you ever noticed that Democrats, they tend to run with conservative ideas to get elected, you know?
I'm against the TPP.
Right. Right. And then the minute they get elected, they go total communism. And they don't, of course, they don't do what they said they were going to do. You know, Hillary Clinton says she supports the Second Amendment. You know, BS. She wants to gut it. There's no question about it. To summarize all this, Dave, we are headed for such incredible chaos in this country right now. And I fear, and I'm not condoning it, but I fear we may witness bloodshed. And I fear that we are not going to have a peaceful post-election scenario in this country, and I fear that Obama and the Clintons will do anything and everything to nullify a Trump victory. And, you know, blaming the Russians being their number one method. So get ready, folks. You know, if you're not locked and loaded and stocked up and you're ready for chaos, you know, you're not living in the real world. This is bizarre history unfolding right now.
Well, this is one of the things that I wanted to make sure that we hit upon. I had said earlier that the new form of martial law is Executive Order 13603 on steroids, meaning that the government, more namely the president, will control every single resource, mostly food and water.
Yeah.
And what I was told in response to this new martial law is that many people are going to have to go to public facilities controlled by FEMA under DHS auspices. And they said one of the ways that they'll get a lot of guns out of people's hands is, okay, we're going to feed you, we're going to send you home with some canned food and some portable water, and you can go about your merry way, but you have to consent to a home search for firearms.
Right.
Listen, this guy was not laughing when he told me this.
Yeah, no, I've heard that before, and it makes perfect sense. That's what food for guns, you know. They want to take your weapons and then use food as a weapon to control you.
Well, we're not going to have to wait long because this is unfolding now as we speak. But Mike, doesn't this also explain why all the foreign troops are here? Because the Army and the Marines and the Navy aren't going to all go along with this?
Well, you make a good point. Now, I haven't personally covered much of the foreign troop occupation or training numbers, but I do know that the U.S. military is mostly populated with real patriots who will not take part. I mean, they will not take part in any kind of attempt to disarm the citizens. Just not going to happen. So really any talk of, let's say, a Clinton presidency attempting to go door-to-door confiscating firearms from the American people, that's not possible at this point. The anger is so high. The realization of the corruptness of the Clinton regime is so high. And a lot of Americans, Dave, are really at their last straw at this point. They feel like if they can't have their country, they've got nothing left to live for. So why not just, you know, defend your Second Amendment rights to the very end if that's what it takes? That's the kind of attitude that a lot of people have. And I think that any people, any government, you know, agents, let's say, who would try to go door to door to confiscate weapons would not get very far with that effort.
Man, that is really interesting. Now, I want to hit another topic with you here and see what you know about this with regard to the military. After Benghazi, of course, we know that there was an attempted rescue of Stevens. It failed. They wanted to parade him out to out the Obama administration because they knew that Clinton and friends had set him up. And I'm talking about Admiral Guyette and General Hamm, who were removed from power immediately when they tried to rescue Stevens. And I asked a couple of military people the same question. Why not just do the coup for real? Don't wait for an opportunity. The answer, well, we don't have the popular support of the people. But here's what's interesting now. I heard from one of the people who told me that very thing 4 years ago. He said, we're approaching the time when we feel we'd have popular support of the people.
Interesting.
We just have to wait for the election to be stolen. And I said, in what form will it be stolen? And this is the same guy who says that he has understanding of trends and so forth from Arsoff, political trends. He said, the Electoral College. And then I went and I called a friend of mine, a former office holder, Republican Party member, and I promised I'd keep their name out of this. But they know three electors here in Arizona. And she said, universally, they're saying the same thing, that they have been approached. They've even been offered inducements to not go with the Trump vote should Trump prevail in Arizona. But they're worried about the tar and feather effect. And this is where I start using this phrase, tar and feather. She's referring to in the revolutionary days, prior to the revolution, when the Stamp Act was passed by the Parliament, the people in the colonies used to chase the stamp tax collectors down the road, catch them, and tar and feather them. And they're worried about that kind of thing happening to them should they go against the will of the people.
Yeah, they should be. Because, number one, that tar is heated before they throw it on you. And secondly, if you know, on a serious note, if the Trump supporters in America perceive that this is being stolen from them, they will revolt. I have no doubt that we're at that point. The Electoral College, I know that in some states, the electoral voters are allowed to vote differently from the way that the popular vote goes, right?
Yes.
But in other states, they are, I think, required by state law to follow the popular vote. So
you're assuming they're going to follow the rule of law.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I think that's a big assumption today with this administration.
And remember, it may only take one state to shift this to Clinton.
Sure.
So you're right. There could be efforts focused on a state like Arizona or North Carolina or Pennsylvania, for example, or even Florida, for that matter, just to get the people in that state to go Clinton. Now, if that happens, if the popular vote shows Trump as the clear winner and the electoral vote looks like it's been rigged, then all hell breaks loose. I think America's at the point now where they will not accept a rigged election outcome. And we weren't there 8 years ago or even 4 years ago or even two. Today, with everything that's come out, the WikiLeaks, you know, the Project Veritas, all the corruption, you know, Clinton Cash documentary, a Peter Schweitzer book, people are at the point where they will just say, hell no, this is not democracy. We're not going to accept that power will be stolen at the highest level in this country, and that's, you know, that's where all bets are off at that point. That's where you better make sure you stay safe.
Well, that's advice for you, I, Steve Quayle, Doug Hagman. I mean, we'll be the first people that'll be targeted in the Clinton administration. But also, you know, I think it would be prudent for people to do what I've been saying now for years, is that if Clinton should win by hook and crook, that what we do is we rebel against her supporters. And this is what really bothers me, Mike. I can't get traction with this idea. You know, take your money out of your bank, put it in the credit union, stop shopping at the Walmarts and other slave marts, and just shop locally. Trade and barter. Keep your exchanges off the books. You don't have to pay tax on them. And I just don't understand why Americans don't see the corporations are enslaving them, and we have the power of the purse. Turn off CNN, turn off ABC, write to their sponsors and say, I'm not buying your product because you participate in national propaganda. I'm so frustrated with the fact that I can't get traction on this idea, but to me, this is where it would hurt them the most. This is all about money, and hit them where it hurts, in the pocketbook.
You're right, yet remember that we are in the complacency stage of the fall of civilization. So, you know, life is too easy for the average American. It's way too easy. We, you know, especially the younger generation, the millennials, this is why they lack such real-world skills, and this is why they can't psychologically handle any challenge. This is why, you know, in high school, everyone's a winner, and they don't even keep score in the football games anymore. Everything's too easy for these people. So the idea of actually standing up and doing something on their own, thinking for themselves, is alien to many, many people. And there's also, I think, like you said, there's a sense of despair because the victories of the left in politics and culture have been so rapid and so enormous, you know, even at the Supreme Court level, that there's a sense of despair. And in some people's minds, they feel like you just can't fight the system. And yet, I would challenge those people and say, on November 8th, you can fight the system. This might be your last chance to fight the system. A vote for Trump, I mean, forget about Donald Trump himself. Just imagine you're voting for anybody other than Hillary Clinton. You know, a vote for Trump is just a vote against the system, period. That's the only thing that matters. Plus, he's going to put in some Supreme Court justices that might, you know, kick the balance back in the direction of Scalia. So that's all that matters. If you, no matter what you think of Trump personally, no matter what you think of Hillary personally, you have to break this system apart. And the ballot box on November 8th is the last opportunity, the very last opportunity in America to do that. You will not have this opportunity in four more years. It's over by that time.
I agree. This could be the last American election, other than the kind they had in the old Soviet Union where you had one choice.
That's where it's going to go next, yeah.
Scalia. I've been thinking about this a lot lately, about why they had to whack him. And I don't think it was just over his ruling against radical environmentalism. I think, you know, that was a convenient outgrowth of it. But I think they were looking down the road to this election. And let me explain what I mean. Who decided the election between Al Gore and George W. Bush? The Supreme Court.
That's right.
With Scalia out of the way, and if Obama could have got that position filled, then Hillary could have won in a disputed election 5-4.
Absolutely. Yep. They know that the Supreme Court is where the power flows from, in terms of, you know, the entire judicial system. And if they control the Supreme Court, then the Second Amendment is history. And not only the Second Amendment, but probably the Fifth Amendment and the Fourth Amendment and the First, for that matter. Do you honestly think that a Clinton presidency is going to sit by and allow people like you and me and Steve Quayle and Alex Jones and others to keep just telling the truth? Not a chance. They're going to come after us. They're going to throw Rush Limbaugh, you know, in prison, or shut him down, or get him off the air, criminalize him. Then, you know, they'll sick the IRS on all of us. They'll perhaps just send out death squads, you know, because that's what the Clintons do. Whatever it takes. See, the people on the left, the operatives in the campaigns, they don't have any ethics. They don't abide by any rules. They don't follow any laws. They think everything's okay as long as they stay in power, and that is the mindset that makes them so dangerous to America. And that's why there's the realization of that is going to turn so many people against them. And that's why I think actually Trump is going to win the real vote. Now, whether it's rigged at the electoral level or faked by the media and falsely reported, that's another story. But in terms of the actual votes cast on that day, Donald Trump wins. No doubt in my mind.
He wins by a 2-1 margin, what I've been told.
I wouldn't be surprised.
This is what the intelligence out of Arsof is telling them. He wins by 2-1 margin.
Doubt. I have no doubt that he's at least ahead by 20 points.
2-1 margin. Let's project out then. I had a lady write to me today, and this is all anonymous, and she didn't give me any personally disclosing information. Except, Mike, you know when you get emails that say keywords, you know you're not dealing with a normal person. You're dealing with an issue. And what I found in her email was really disturbing. She said, I'm not even going to say the agency because I don't want to compromise her. Because, you know, they can go back through these emails. But let me just say this. Her relative worked in a secure position in an interesting place. And he told her there will not be a Christmas as we know it this year.
Mm-hmm. I would second that, no matter what the outcome. I mean, think about it, too. Suppose Trump wins. Suppose the Electoral College even elects him, and he's declared the winner. Do you think the left is going to accept a Trump presidency? No. And they've already firebombed a GOP office in North Carolina. You think that's the last bomb they're going to set? No. They're going to invoke the Russian excuse. They're going to say this is all rigged. They're going to start firebombing like crazy. Obama's going to declare martial law. And then he'll say something like, well, we can't transition in January until the country, you know, comes to a state of peace. And until then, I'm the commander-in-chief, and I'm going to stay in power. I mean, who's going to stop him? Right?
Well, hopefully the military would.
Yeah, that's... You're right.
Hopefully. Violate the Constitution that flagrantly, your actions are that blatantly criminal, then our legal mechanisms, and our military is part of the legal mechanism, they're part of the enforcement branch, the executive branch of the government, they have a duty to stand up and correct this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I believe they would, too. I believe they would. And I believe also, if that were to happen, and they take over Washington... Then they would, you know, announce to the country, we are going to reestablish democracy as quickly as possible. You know, we're going to arrest all the corrupt officials, which is what needs to happen, and we're going to turn them over to a new administration and a new prosecutorial team, and then we, the military, are going to get out of Washington as quickly as possible. That's what has to happen in a free society that's being reestablished. You know, no one will tolerate a military dictatorship, right? Nobody in America. So that has to be a very temporary situation, and I believe it would be.
This is an infinite set of possibilities in a wide universe. Mike, we're just about out of time, and I wanted to give you an opportunity. Let's talk about your great product line that you have that you make available to the public.
Oh, my. Right now, I almost think none of that matters. It's like so much is at stake.
Well, we still got to go on with our daily lives.
I know. I hear you. Well, look. Okay, so I run a lab. I test everything. I have an online store called healthrangerstore.com. where everything we sell is laboratory tested for heavy metals and pesticides and GMOs and everything else. So we've got the cleanest, most honest, high-integrity supply of storable foods, emergency foods, nutritional supplements, all that. We're the only ones who have our own lab and test everything we sell. So that's my plug. If you want to support us, you can do it there. But look, bottom line is, in 6 months, folks, if you don't see the Health Ranger and Dave Hodges still on the air, you know, if we're taken offline, if we're taken down, you better take your country back, because it's going down. As long as we have a voice, then there's still a First Amendment. You know, thank God for that. So,
well, Hillary knows if Trump wins, she's going to jail.
She is.
And I think you and I know if Hillary wins, you and I better watch out.
Well, maybe we'll share the same line in front of a firing squad, and we can YouTube that sound.
Yeah, this is a family show.
Yeah, I'm sorry, gallows humor, but no, we're gonna fight for America every step of the way.
No, I totally agree. Mike, let's give out your websites as well, too, so people can follow you.
Naturalnews.com is where you can get my articles.
Okay, very good. Mike, I appreciate you joining me. This is, wish it was under better circumstances, but if it was, I guess we wouldn't be in business. So thanks a lot for joining us, Mike. NewsTarget.com and NaturalNews.com, two places I visit every single day. Mike Adams, you're a great interview. Let's hope we keep getting to do the same thing that we've been doing.
Thank you, Dave. Always a pleasure to join you. Stay safe.
Well, we're back. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Mike that took place a little earlier this week. He certainly is indeed a great interview, as are the people we had. I want to, excuse me, take a moment here and thank the people that came on tonight, especially our, excuse me. Boy, Mike has me all choked up. But I want to really sing the praises here of our anonymous postal worker that came on and laid out the numbers for ballot stuffing here in Arizona. It's just not possible. 80% of the people have early balloted, and that's what the numbers are telling us. And thanks again to Doug Hagman, who appears in what we like to call now the Hagman and Hodges Hour. And, man, did he lay things out clearly. And, of course, Bob Griswold from ReadyMadeResources.com. Wow, was that a presentation? And then, of course, you just heard Mike Adams. And all I got to say is, I just had to just push the buttons tonight, and I think that you had three quality interviews tonight with these three men. Unbelievable. But next week, it even gets better. Steve Quayle will be joining us for the hours at number 2 and 3. Doug Hagman and Joe Hagman will be on hour 1 and continue through the show. It's our pre-election special. Don't miss it. We'll see you next week. Go out and have a great week. God bless.